So you're in the air. You're headed west, and you're chasing the sun a little bit, but you're not moving quite as you're not moving west fast enough to keep it in view. So before too long, you are looking at a dark expanse of space, a dark expanse of grounds, sort of a light horizon as the sun retreats, and a blue-green, teal, purple, swirly colors, energy band that you are immersed in, right? And I don't know, some of you probably have, like, you know, one of the things that everybody has in Rifts, not everybody, but a ton of people have in Rifts, is, like, just, like, a clock that's cybernetic that tells them what the time is, right? This is a thing that, like, came in just about every character that had cybernetics had this clock, for some reason. Any of you that have that, I don't know which ones of you actually would have cybernetics.
Do any of us have cybernetics?
You and maybe Perdicion would be the two that
might. Yeah, Perdicion does not have cybernetics.
Yeah, mine's magic shit.
Well, in fact, like, I specifically mine's magic. Too. I specifically cannot get cybernetics.
Yeah. Never mind. Work. You don't know how long it's been.
Excellent.
But it's been a little while. Like, you are... And this... Because you're traveling in the dark, it's not clear how fast this thing's going. Your estimates of it going over the lake, it was probably doing, like, 300 through the air.
Mm-hmm.
And it's not clear whether it's going the same speed or faster, but it can do pretty good time. And you'd estimate it's probably been a couple of hours. Well, you're going to be in the air for a couple of hours. Yeah. What are people doing, essentially?
I'm asking Albert uncomfortable questions.
Great.
Like,
give me one
questions
example.
Questions that, how long have you known your friend that's about to die? Did you know that you were going to leave her behind? Why didn't you try to save her sooner? Does your friend know how little you mean to her?
Can you read thoughts?
I have mind link, but I think the other person has to agree to it.
Yeah, I think that's got to be voluntary. Okay, how good are you at reading, mammalian body language?
I think that I have a decent notice.
Okay.
And a decent survival. And I'm getting better at taunt.
Okay. Are you attempting to taunt Albert into giving you information, or are you just, like, asking questions hoping he'll answer them of his own accord?
I don't know what the phrase for this is. It's like Gug thinks that will end up with Albert being more heroic if he is teased and kind of tormented and kind of like it's not an altruistic thing. Gug is mocking this person for not riding off to the rescue immediately like he should have.
Okay.
It's the best combination of mean and heroic I can do right now.
Jesus. Okay. Yeah, you... I'm imagining the inside of this thing is actually like a school bus. So he's sitting in the driver's seat and there's like that area there above the stairs, right?
Gug is probably on the ceiling.
Crazy. So he's driving and he's consulting charts and things. And as you're talking to him, the last thing, like, how long have you known this person and when should we have gone to get them so they didn't die? Right. He will make eye contact with you, at least a couple of your eyes since you've got so many of them.
Excellent.
As he has to sort of look upwards to do it if you're hanging from the ceiling. And he will very slowly and very measuredly say to you, Serena can handle herself. She knew the risks. She had a mission. We had a mission. That's how this works.
Hmm. Okay. I guess mammals just don't have as much of a care for their, like, brood mates, or, like, what do you have, litters?
And there's a... He chuckles to himself when you say that sort of darkly, and he says, We're not that. Don't ever get that confused. In this business, we're not that.
So, Gug, for the element of comedy, Gug will go over to Tink and say, like, I think Albert just said that he wasn't a mammal.
Oh, no, I heard. He's saying he wasn't an elf.
Oh.
Which I imagine confuses the shit out of Gug even further.
Yeah.
Elves are a very specific kind of mammal, you see.
I don't even know if they're mammals.
I wish Gug had some sort of, like flip book. Like, a shitty guide to the Earth plane.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Alright, yeah, so, since we just pulled, Tink into frame. Tink, what are you doing on this trip?
Mostly creepily watching Albert, how he pilots the thing, just in case, you know, he randomly dies and I have to fly away this thing.
Randomly, yes. Okay.
Cool. I couldn't kill him. That would be a violation of hospitality.
What about, Perdicion? What are you doing? I'll talk about Goro last.
Yeah, Perdicion is, honestly, kind of just, like, if you ask the camera crew, it's... He's staring intently, brooding out the window. And he's looking out the window. And then on the inside, what you don't see is him, like, gnashing and wailing as, like, some part of his body has become disjointed. And he's trying to rest it back into place.
Ah, okay. Fun. Okay. So you are, like... doing the heavy metal self-repair thing here in the...
Well, it's not just that. It's his merge is not complete with his body.
Oh, okay. Okay.
And so, like, it's still not a guarantee that he is going to be able to maintain this form, essentially.
Oh, okay.
Does Perdicion need healing?
No, it's not that Perdicion needs healing. In fact, he has to do all his own healing. But it's his literally an effect of anti-monster is because of the way his soul is implanted into this form. It's not a guarantee that he'll be able to maintain it up until he reaches a certain tier of play. So he's always a little bit off at certain points.
You're like an anti-juicer. Right now.
Kind of, sort of. So, like...
Well, that was going to be my next question. Could Tink repair you?
I don't think so. I think he can only be repaired by his healing function.
Yeah.
Okay.
Good news is, like, otherwise he's almost impossible to kill, but...
So Perdicion's just sitting there having a quiet, self-reflective, existential struggle with his own body. Awesome.
Yep.
Cool. Goro.
Yes.
What are you doing?
I think sword maintenance.
Okay. Which sword? You have so many.
Happens to be holding, I guess. I don't think you can maintain a vibroblade.
I don't know. I imagine like you have to do fairly regular maintenance on a vibroblade, right? Because the whole thing is there a sword that shakes itself, right?
I imagine that's like a technical repair, not like using a whetstone to sharpen the edge kind of thing. It's more of a...
That's true.
I mean, it doesn't hurt to, you know, sharpen the edge also, though.
You gotta plug it in periodically.
Like, I'm picturing that, like, the maintenance you do on, like, a hair trimmer, right? Because it's sort of a vibroblade.
Occasionally you have to open it up and knock all the body parts out that you've chopped off. Like, what's...
Yeah, like, oil... Oil it up a little bit after you clean it out. Make sure there's no gunk in there.
Oh, that's so gross.
I okay, yeah. The sword, it feels really good in your hands, and it feels really good to, like, maintain and sharpen up. Even though the edges appear to be just perfectly sharp on their own, it is a joy to hold this sword. You feel really good about this decision. Give me a spirit roll real quick. Well, 4 is technically a success.
I have a feeling I should probably re-roll that.
Oh, it's up to you.
It's technically a success.
Yeah.
If it's technically a success, then I could go with technically a success for now. That's fine. I don't feel any need to push it. I'm feeling good. I don't know.
I believe last time I misspoke and said that you heard Latin music in your head, which was not exactly what I was going for. I was going for the Latin chorus, but I think we're going to roll with it. I think that while you're looking at this sword, like a faint, like, flamenco guitar plays in the back of your head, right? Just like the stuff that, like, in a Western movie set in Mexico, right?
Okay.
The gunslingers, like the protagonist gunslingers theme, when they first introduced them, that plays very softly, sort of under the scene. Maybe even as just like a sting that comes in. That's what you get in your head every time you think about the sword. I'm glad we have multiple examples coming into the chat very quickly. I'm glad that, yes, these are both excellent examples. Thank you. Yeah. That's the feeling you get from this sword right now. It feels pretty good. It feels like this is a tool that could be useful to me. Also, I really like this sword, though. Yeah. And then those of you standing around Albert, you hear another burst of static, and then the same voice come over the radio yelling something in a language that you probably don't speak. Unless some of you speak some pretty weird languages. This is Riffs.
I don't know if that ever even came up.
Yeah, I don't know if it has yet. I know we've got a Vernulian speaker. We've got, like...
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Either, like, Spanish or Portuguese, whatever. I think it's Spanish in Colombia. And then...
Yeah, probably Spanish, yeah.
American, which is one of my favorite things about Riffs.
Where do we pick languages?
I don't know. So...
Gug has is a linguist, so...
Oh, do you?
It's possible.
Okay.
Yeah. Like,
okay.
I don't know. Is fairy actually a language?
I believe fae and gobbly are both languages.
Alright.
So
maybe those, and I guess maybe like offhanded Welsh or something?
Yeah.
Like, he came from the old world centuries ago.
Well, I mean, both fae and gobbly are like the two...
Yeah, are Welsh at this point.
The two primary languages for those isles, yes. There's because I believe, if I'm remembering correctly, and this is another thing that I love about Riz, the actual Camelot, the new Camelot, and the new German Republic both speak Euro. Because that makes sense. That's a thing that would happen. Those two places would be united in a common language. Anyway. Okay, so any of you that might understand, like, fantasy-style languages, right? Not... You're not metropolitan Earth. You're, like, metropolitan Palladium fantasy. Which might include Gug. I don't know what Gug's been exposed to. Gug, give me a common knowledge roll, Gug. I don't know how linguists works. Just give me a common knowledge roll. If you succeeded a common knowledge roll, well, goddammit. Gug speaks Elven. Awesome.
Gug might be a nerd.
Gug might be a gigantic nerd, yes. So at least Gug and Tink, all that preamble was to say that Gug, both Gug and Tink over the speaker hear...
Sorry. I just now had a picture of Gug in Vernulian homeworld, like, constantly dreaming of being isekai'd to, like, fantasy world.
Yeah. Like, Gug might be a Vernulian horse girl.
Oh my right. God.
Sorry. I just had to get that out of my brain.
Not a good one, to be clear, but, like, all right, this character's shaping up to be something.
There's some layers here, yeah.
It's a very unpleasant term, Sue.
You hear... I wonder if... Yeah, never mind. So Gug and Tink both hear over the speaker essentially the same voice. So it's Serena. Now she's harder to understand, but it sounds like she's yelling lightning bolt over and over again. As though she's LARPing, but every time she yells it, there's like this burst of static that comes through over the speakers.
And just typical overdramatic elven shit.
Yeah, that's what it sounds like. Sounds like a bunch of elven bullshit.
Well, so... Nobody here casts spells, right? I guess,
technically, for this young? Very technically?
So...
I mean, yeah.
There's a thing... To exposition dump just a little bit, the act of casting spells in the Palladium game system complex expanded universe thing, there's almost always, you know, verbal components in like D&D terms.
Sure.
Right? But those verbal components are just words that mean certain things, and it doesn't matter what language you say them in. It doesn't matter how loud you say them. So a lot of magic users who are trying to keep other people from learning spells by listening to them will do things like mumble the important parts and yell gibberish before and after they actually cast a spell. But it's entirely possible that Serena has just dropped all artifice and is just, like, yelling lightning bolt while throwing lightning bolts LARP style at something somewhere.
I mean, if it's working, like, go off, queen.
Uh-huh. Yes. Yeah. Those of you who can see... who can see the communicator, the Nokia phone... The map is still there, and as you get closer, the map is zooming in. And it's gotten what seems to be pretty tight now. And the rest of you, everybody can feel the engine starting to sort of pull back. You know that feeling where as a plane starts to come over the... Like, we're about 100 miles from the airport, mm-hmm. right? That sort of feeling, right? And you're getting that, but you're getting it, like, aggressively. Because Albert is not bringing in a plane with 300, like, tourists on it. You are a drop team, and he is not messing around. And as those engines kick in, like, the G-forces in the cabin are significant, but not, like, crushingly so. This is, a thing that's been magically prevented from, you know, crushing you against the bulkhead, essentially, right? Or breaking any more windows with your fragile forms.
So he's treating us nicely today.
Yes. Those of you who can see the communicator, you can see that the map is beginning to zero in. And I said it was a topographic mm-hmm. map with a dot on it that was blinking, which you're... kind of, we're all kind of assuming, yeah. I am as well, is Serena, right? That dot is now very clearly not matching up with the topography.
Is it up or down?
It is down.
Oh, they're below ground?
Not a wild assumption, right? Close that. So, Albert, continues slowing the vehicle and then kicks on lights on the bottom. And from above, you can look out the side of the plane, or at the side of the bus, and you see this. Hopefully you guys can see this. Or some facsimile of this. There is a crashed vehicle, and there are bloodstains all over on the ground. This is a coalition vehicle. I'll give you that one. This is not Serena's vehicle. This is a coalition, what are they called? Death's Head Transport. Which is just a big flying column with a skull on the front. So you can find a decent picture right away.
It's essentially like any Dr. Wily machine at the end of a Mega Man game. The first one of that, pretty much.
Just like, these people go about naming shit and not be like, are we the bad guys? Yes. Yes, you are.
Oh, they know they're the bad guys. They just don't give a shit.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. They're very happy with the bad guys.
So it's one of these. And those are big. They are big. And they don't... They carry a bunch of troops. They carry a bunch of stuff. And they don't get sent to, like, hunt down individual people very often. Like, this is not the thing they would send... If they were trying to chase down you from where you came from, they would send a bunch of those bikes. Or some Samus power armor. They wouldn't send one of these. Right? And...
I think Gug's already jumping down the hole.
The hole? Wait, is there a hole?
Okay. Yes, that is...
Oh.
There is not visually a hole.
Yeah.
I mean, there...
It's more of a metaphorical.
Yes, there is a vehicle here, yes, that has been shredded.
Okay, so seeing him jump out the hole as we're landing down, that seems like a perfect excuse to use the wing board, so Tink will go along.
Okay, cool. And yes, you are very firmly still inside this ley line. This is a pretty big one. So the air around you is like shimmering with that same like collection of blue green energy. Tink wingboards out. Albert is hovering and sort of waving the searchlight over the area. He's probably 80 feet in the air, trying to get a sense of what happened here. Anybody else looking down can give me a notice roll if they want to, or they can just jump out of the vehicle.
Yeah,
I don't care.
Can we do both?
You can absolutely do both, yes.
I was going to look around.
Yeah, Pedestrian's going to look before he leaps, but he is going to leap, that is.
Ooh.
Hey, look at that.
Hey, some of us looked at least. Cool. Okay. So, if I'm reading this correctly... That is a 5 for Tink, that is an 8 for Gug, and that is a 3 and 2 for the others.
Yes. Correct.
Cool.
Gug may all just notice it because Gug splatted against it.
That's fair.
Like, if that's the way you want to handle that, that's really
good. Alright, so, as you all... So, are you all jumping out of the vehicle at the same time and falling 80 feet and with some sense of ability to survive the fall, or are we just
it's a real Ninja Turtles moment, Zach.
I mean, I'm not telling you not to do it. I want to be very clear about that.
I mean,
look, some of us have a heroic flaw.
Fair.
That oh, wait, fair. And Death Wish, right? Let's, yeah, that's cool.
Get in there. Let's do the thing.
I feel like as a dragon juicer, I should be able to fly.
Yeah. No, it's... Perdition is the only one who's...
No. But Perdition gets to do... any of you that jumped out of this plane right now, one of your flaws activated. I guarantee it. This was a terrible idea.
Oh my god, is Albert just gonna, gun it and leave?
Oh, I know why. It's because he's a fucking dramatico luchador.
There you go.
Yeah, he's in it for the drama.
Alright, I am now googling fall damage for Savage Worlds. I believe I did this last time, too.
It's D6 for every 10 feet. I know.
Sweet Jesus.
Oh, yeah. That's right. We found that out last time from Tink.
Well, Tink's got a wing board. Tink's good.
Yeah.
Does anybody else have a way of preventing themselves from just bouncing when they...
Yeah, there are options. You can always choose to splatter.
Awesome.
You're funny. You're a funny man.
Yes. Rule of cool?
Well, okay, so I'm going to be real. I'm cutting you some slack on Rule of Cool, specifically. Alright? I'm giving you a 20-foot bumper for Rule of Cool.
I parry the ground with my shield.
I believe that from Goro.
Well, and like, it's a very Captain America thing to do.
It works on Dragon's Dogma.
It also works in, you know, Tears of the Kingdom, but we ain't doing that right now.
Does 19 beat toughnesses for anybody who's not Tink?
Yeah, but it's just gonna shake me.
Yeah.
I'm fine with that.
It's just a little dazed.
I'm fine with you landing face down the Tick style as you jump from this vehicle. Having to pick yourself up off the ground. I'm good.
One of the cameramen pointed, the guys, no, we need to fix that in post.
Do it again.
Oh, they will not need to Foley this one.
You should have at least gone for like the superhero landing and said that your stunning was, you know, standing back up.
So yeah, you're all on the... Well, Tink's not on the ground. Tink is technically airborne for as long as Tink wants to be airborne, because Tink has a fly speed, essentially.
Yep. I'm doing a cool circling thing, because it's what you do.
As all of you that are on the ground, you see a couple things. Number one, something blasted the shit out of this thing. Like, some kind of gigantic energy weapon of some sort tore this thing in half sideways. And all of this debris is from this craft, right? The other thing you notice is that around you, there are a lot of blood stains, discarded coalition sidearms, lots of stuff that was probably on somebody that isn't there anymore. Backpacks, kits, but there are no bodies here. None.
That D&D podcast is released under a Creative Commons 4.0 attribution, non-commercial, no derivatives license. Feel free to share with friends, but don't cut anything out and don't sell our work. Please visit us at thatdndpodcast.com or on Twitch or YouTube at thatdndpodcast. Intro music is Now We Ride, metal version by Alexander Nakarada. Outro music is Shadow Rain, also by Alexander Nakarada. Nakarada's music can be found on freestockmusic.com, on Bandcamp, and on creatorchords.com. Nakarada can also be found on YouTube and Patreon at A Nakarada. Rifts is a role-playing system published by Palladium Books. Savage Worlds and this game's Savage Rifts combination is owned and published by Pinnacle Entertainment. All other copyrighted content is owned by its associated copyright holder.